2021. Notice is hereby given that the Board of Directors of the Green Mountain Water and Sanitation District of the County of Jefferson, State of Colorado, will hold a special meeting at 6 p.m. Tuesday, June 15, 2021 at 13919 West Utah Avenue, Lakewood, Colorado 80228. This meeting will be held for the purpose of conducting such business as may come before the board. This meeting is open to the public. We have a virtual meeting option for those who may not be able to attend in person. The district will offer the option of participating in this meeting by video conference call. To attend, please go to https://zoom.us/j/99390363271 or call 669-900-6833 and enter the meeting ID. The meeting ID is 993-903-9036-3271. To troubleshoot issues with connection at the time of the meeting, please follow this link, https://support.zoom.us/hc/en-us/sections/20030-55593-troubleshooting. If you still experience issues, please email customerservice@greenmountainwater.org and our IT staff will assist you as soon as possible. The district does not discriminate on the basis of race, age, national origin, color, creed, religion, sex, sexual orientation, or disability in the provision of services. People with disabilities needing reasonable accommodation to attend or participate in a district board meeting can call 303-985-1581 or email customerservice@greenmountainwater.org for assistance. Please give notice as far in advance as possible so that we can accommodate your request. And now for the reading of the agenda. I am going to call this meeting to order and we'll do roll call. Adrian Hannigan.
Jeff Baker.
Alex Boston.
Karen Morgan.
Rhonda Peters.
So we have a quorum. All five of the board members are here. And then we can move on to item number two in the agenda, directors matters or disclosure matters. Do any directors have anything to disclose that you would like to mention at this time? All right, I will move on to item number three, approval of, I think we're, you know, it says additions to or deletions from the agenda, but I'm thinking that we can't really add an agenda at the last minute. Is that right, Joe?
That is generally correct, right?
Unless okay.
There's so I thought an emergency I, here.
Okay.
Yeah,
so anyway,
I would like to make a comment that it does look like the agenda was changed from Friday. So somebody was adding something in the middle. So we're going to have to keep working on this process because some people, I mean, this keeps going forward. So if the things are changing in the middle and some people are being told they can't change, but other people can, this is a problem.
Now, I think you guys have to do your notice now 24 hours in advance. It used to be 72. Under the new law that just went into effect this last summer, when they changed it to online notices completely, it used to be you had to post your agenda on your door. You had to have two places that you posted it. Now it's all, you can do it one online posting on your website. And actually they also changed it to only 24 hours notice. So if it changed since yesterday, then that's a problem. Yeah, it needs to stay.
Our bylaws still state that 72 hours is still written in our bylaws. And we have been doing this by adding things to the last, to the agenda. And I do not think there is anything wrong with that. I have been saying that. But again, so if somebody did that who has been saying there's something wrong with that, and we agree to, you know, it went through on Friday. So
let me just state that the agenda that I meant to be published on Friday 72 hours in advance, reflected additions by all the directors. And it was pointed out to me over the weekend that actually the one that went up was not reflective of all the changes. So checked it out. Sure enough, that was the case. And so went ahead and directed Sam and Jesse to make the change. It only seemed right because that was a mistake on my part. So the things you see reflective should have been reflective Friday. And it's my goal that as you guys add things prior to that 72-hour window, that's what I got to publish. But as agendas start getting updated Friday afternoon, it gets confusing, and that's what happened. So the whole idea about an addition on the day of a meeting, that can be a discussion for another time. But what you guys see here reflected is what should have been reflective as it went up Friday. So my apologies.
You know, now that the topic, I meant to ask Jesse, the IT department, how do we have a way to prove a time of a posting on our website? Because if we ever have to prove, well, this is the document that went up at this time on this day, because we used to be able to do that under the old system, we had to record it at the clerk and recorder, and they have a whole stamp system to prove you got in. How do we do that on this system?
We do a signed certificate of posting at every meeting.
Do you? Okay. Doug, you do that?
That's Sam.
Sorry, Sam. Sam, you guys prepare that yourselves?
Yes, we do.
Okay. So when we post it, okay, we're putting a signed certificate. I didn't do a signed certificate on the update on Sunday, but that was just because it was... Yeah. Wrong, like Greg said, the wrong one went up.
Okay.
We just posted that one.
Yeah.
The original file.
So actually, in the old days, when we posted it on the door, the only way to prove it was the certificate of posting. So you do that for this.
Yes, okay. We have.
All right. Okay. That's good to know.
All right. Shall we move
on? And in addition, there's a timestamp on the upload too. So.
Okay. Oh, there is.
When you like, so we have the posting timestamps, but that's
okay. All right.
But we also do the science.
Okay. I would like to move on to item number 4, which is I forgot. Please forgive me. Okay. So regarding the agenda, shall we vote to approve it to go forward? I would like to make a motion to approve the current agenda. Do I have a second?
Do we need a motion to do this?
I think that basically we approval of, it says, additions to, in this other case.
We've never done that before.
I thought we had.
So I don't think we need a motion to. The agenda. Agenda is just a loose thing. And it's a notification to the public. We're not doing anything legally other than the notifications, the legal document.
So, okay, there are the basically, what should I do?
Yeah, I don't think you need to vote on it.
I thought we did when we
we should check,
make deletions.
We'll check the last, for tonight, if you don't vote it, I don't think it's going to cause a problem, but let's go back and check how we've done it.
I'm pretty sure that we
don't
did that.
Have any memory.
Remember either, but we... We can certainly look in our previous minutes.
Okay, let's just make sure. Okay.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure because this is an important meeting. So number 4, public comment. Members of the public wishing to address the board during the public comment period are asked to keep their comments civil and related to items on the agenda or to the conduct of district business. Members of the public wishing to address the board will be recognized by the board to speak. Since the Green Mountain Water and Sanitation District Board values your input, we always offer additional opportunities for the public to provide comments by using the district's email system or by phoning into customer service. In the event they do not get on during the meeting during the period set aside for public comment, So I'm going to need to use my cell phone to time people for public comment. And
I can
so, oh, you can do it? Oh, then I don't have to do it. Good. I need to tell people to shut up.
Wait, 5 minutes?
Yeah. Adrian, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I am not there in person. I wonder, can you tell me if there's anybody in the room there? I can see who's logged in on Zoom. Did we have anybody want to come in?
He's here.
No members of the public.
Okay. I just wondered.
Well, members of the public on the screen that are...
We do, yes, yeah. And thank you again, then, Sam and Jesse, for making this happen. I guess that's this is a good way to go.
Thank you. All right. I appreciate that. So I guess we can open up public comment.
Yeah, you can use reactions to raise hand or *9 if you're on the phone. Okay, Rita, you're unmuted. Go ahead.
Can everybody hear me all right in the room?
Yes.
Okay. I'm looking at an email here from Doug to Rhonda on May 25th. And this was an email where Rhonda was asking questions about the cost of an election. And Doug had done some digging for her. And it looks like a polling place election is much less expensive than a mail-in ballot election. And he quoted and cited the costs between what it would have cost to do the Tom Stocker election, which was a couple of years ago, so you'll have to factor that in, and the full mail-in election for recently. So it looks like it would still be an order of magnitude difference, meaning $25,000 to $30,000 minimum for the district. This, in the statute, it allows the board to decide which kind of election they'd want. There's been people on your side, on our side, asking if there's a statistical advantage to one or the other. And frankly, I don't see one myself. Maybe somebody else could weigh in on that if they know. But I would like the board to discuss that email that was issued and to make sure that whatever you're doing is going to be the most cost-effective for the district. If you have a good reason for sending out 30,000 ballots where 90% of them are going to be thrown in the trash, let us know. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
Anyone else? If we don't have anyone else, I will close off public comment. Okay. Count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. That's not a problem with anyone that I close off public comment? Nope. No one raised their hands, Jesse?
Nope.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so what I have now is, I'm moving on to item number 5, the approval of district election official contracts, including approval of mail-in ballot election procedures as outlined in the scope of work. Now, I'm gonna read again the email that I got from Sue Blair just recently. I mean, it was last night. The polling place option will save the district approximately $5,000 in election costs. The district has substantial numbers of permanent mail-in status voters. She would know that, you know. So they would need to receive a mail-in ballot. So we would need to order both mail ballot packets and polling place packets and materials, and then have two separate processes. Also, since the district has been conducting mail-in ballot elections for several years, a polling place election is going to cause more confusion, so more phone calls, processing, absentee ballots, etc. Let me know if you have any problems. Thanks, Sue Blair. So that is the latest and greatest that I got, okay? So I wanted to make sure that everybody had this, all right? So, I would like to make a motion.
Rhonda's raising her hand.
Oh, yes. Rhonda, yes. Do you have one to say something?
Yeah, I just had a question. So we have a contract, but last time we met, I think just last week, it was discussed that we don't need a contract. So just trying to understand some of the background on this.
Well, okay, Rhonda, I think what you mean is that we didn't need to vote on the contract. We need a contract. Last time I was saying we don't need to vote on it because I didn't realize the contract contained an issue that does need to be voted on. Okay. And that is whether it should be mail-in ballot or polling place. So the contract that Sue has proposed, which I didn't have last week, has in it a proposal for the mail-in ballot. She went ahead and basically pre-selected that procedure. I do see one typo in here, but we can talk about that later. It's just a minor typo, but on a date. But other than that, the reason for voting on it is to vote for the mail-in ballot procedure, which is in the current contract we have. If the board votes to do a different, the only other option under the statute is the polling place option. If the board were to vote for that, what we would do then is ask Ms. Blair to produce a different contract for signature. And we could approve that tonight, that selection. That's what you need to vote on.
There's another thing too. I was looking through some resolutions that were signed by Cara Moulet and Bradley Morrell about a resolution assigning CRS. You know, maybe it was that for that particular election, but I'm not sure.
Well, okay. Now every year when you guys do your regular elections every other year in May, you have to do certain resolutions in advance of that by statute. Mm-hmm. This is a different procedure okay. than that. That's what I'm thinking that you're talking about.
Can I just show it to you? Because they were assigning Sue Blair as the person doing mail-in ballots. I just skimmed it.
Yeah, I think that under your regular elections every other May, it's required. I thought it was like state law now that you have to do those.
But it was for regular elections. That's
yes,
right.
That's
I'm
right.
Wrong. I'm
yeah.
wrong.
So okay. regular elections yeah. have a whole different statutory scheme.
Different thing.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure mail-in is now a requirement.
It's a requirement, yeah. That's what Carl and Brad signed into law
yeah.
before we were elected.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But this is a different procedure, and basically this one, the statute outlines a board decision on the method of procedure. Ballot procedure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, Rhonda, does that answer your question?
Yes, definitely. Thank you for the clarification.
Okay.
And I have another question. So I had heard in the comments and also it was referenced in email that had been sent to me about the difference in cost being significant, like $40,000. But then it sounds like this letter from Sue Blair is indicating that the difference is less. It's only a difference of $5,000. Can we talk about that a little bit? Where does that discrepancy come from?
I absolutely, I have no idea whatsoever. But the thing is that I just got this. And so I wanted to make sure and share that with everybody.
That's the letter you had forwarded that we just got recently?
To you. To you. And basically, I forward it to the board.
Hopefully yes. Everybody. See it. Let me take a look at it.
If not, I'd be happy to send it to you right now. Let's just make sure that you have it, okay?
What time did you send it?
Probably about 5 o'clock, 5-ish. Okay, so I'm gonna
okay.
do.
Okay. I think I see it. Here's it says here's the letter Sue Blair sent on June 2nd.
No, let me send this.
Okay.
Here we go.
Oh no, there it is. 5:52. Here's the most recent Sue Blair email. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I think that it's coming up is the difference is between the email that Doug sent. What, right? I think we got that in the public comment. Mm-hmm. It was an email from Doug to Rhonda, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's what needs to be asked about or investigated, how that information is available or what's behind those.
Let me send this to you. Adrian, can you send that email to Joe so she has it from Sue? So here's what it says. It says the polling place option will save the district approximately $5,000 in election costs. The district has a substantial number of permanent mail-in status voters, so they would need to receive a mail ballot. So we would need to order both mail ballot packets and polling place ballots and materials, and then have two processes. Also, since the district has been conducting mail ballot elections for several years, a polling place election is going to cause more confusion, so more phone calls, processing absentee ballots, etc. So it sounds like we've been doing mail-in ballots consistently for a couple years, and there's people who are permanent, so we can't avoid it potentially, and that's why there would be both options.
I think, Rhonda, there was this that Doug sent you an email like May 25th about how much, and what did that say? And that would be the question.
Let me find it. Yeah, let me find that email. And
the question is, where did that?
Yeah, and I'll let me take a look. Let me see if I can pull that up, and let's see if I can find it easily, and I can read that one. May 25th. Oh, I got a lot of emails that day. Oh, there it is. Okay. It says, the recall election in 2017 was a polling place election, meaning registered voters within the district had to come to the office to vote in the presence of election judges who also counted the votes, much less expensive than mail-in ballot election. There were also mail-in ballots for people who had opted to receive them. The number of mail-in ballots was closer to 1,000 as opposed to the full mail-in election, closer to 38,000. The cost of the recall election was $38,972.09. However, legal costs related to processing the petition to recall drafting resolutions were not included in this total. And then he said that because Greg had given me an estimate, he said the $80,000 that Greg told you was an estimate from the company that did our last mail-in for the last election for Karen and yourself, which was full mail-in election, it was $74,867. And then I had read somewhere that previous recall election had in all cost over $100,000 with everything that had been factored into it. So I guess, I don't know, because it sounds like it sounds like the costs were different in 2017 than they're being estimated now at this point for the polling place election.
All right. I think
I'm sorry if that was a good place to break in. I'm just going to have to trust her estimates, and I think her her email about the mail-in considerations is just something to listen to. It disenfranchises a lot of people if you're going to try and cut that out. So I liked, if we're going to have if we're going to have to do both anyway, then it's going to be less confusing for people just to keep it as we have been doing it with the mail-in, is my opinion. I would have liked to have had this discussion before, and I apologize to Ms. Blair for not being able to do that and holding off on things. Thankfully, we have another meeting this week, so we can get this taken care of, because otherwise it would have lagged.
Another meeting this week?
This week today that we are handling this contract that was put off the agenda from last time. So.
Oh, okay. All right. So I think she was pretty clear about what the costs were. I guess I'll trust her.
I'm sorry, just one more thing that you did, Director Pierce did say that the legal costs are, some of that is not in here, and that'll be an after cost, something that they will be an additional fee, I do believe.
Yeah, can somebody explain what that legal cost is to me that the district incurs in relation to recall elections?
Yeah, aware of that. I don't know what that's referring to, especially when you're saying it went from 38,000 up to over 100,000.
120,000.
Yeah.
And I remember that because I had seen it posted way back when that recall took place. And I'd seen it posted and it came back up again and so I understand that it would have to be verified through the district. But I did see it, some information about that. I had remembered seeing that posted back then as well.
So there were some things, I was looking through some of the information on OneDrive regarding the other recall election. And I think there were other legal costs that you guys can look into regarding the reasons why Mr. Stalker was recalled. I would not like to go into it right now because I would like to protect his privacy. And so there are certain things that transpired.
Oh, maybe there was like litigation. Maybe there was a lawsuit.
It's not standard with every election. It was just related to a particular, to that election. There's nothing, that's what it sounds like. Perhaps. Adrian, is that what I'm getting from you?
I would be happy to kind of go over that with you, because Silvio Cipro was involved. He was actually going door to door and getting people to sign the petition. And then he told me the reasons why. And he said that there were things that would have happened, you know, had the board taken certain actions. I will talk to any of you privately about this, but I really don't want to discuss it during the meeting, but there were certain things that were it only I can describe as very damaging to the district, certain things that happened. So, you know, forgive me for being vague, but
that's fine.
I'm not sure what the, you know, what the legal.
So they were particular to that election. There were legal issues that are not standard, but they were part of that recall election. So I think that's what I'm hearing. So the numbers that were being quoted now and previously, those are for the actual election, and the legal is above and beyond because of special circumstances with the previous one.
Very definitely special circumstances, you know, very difficult situation that, you know, when I heard it, I was like, oh my goodness. So, you know, if you would like to, I can also give you Mr. Cipro's telephone. So
I'm good. I just wanted to know if they were standard or if they were particular circumstances. So as long as we know that that's not a standard fee, and that the fees that are quoted are what we have to work with. I guess from my position, it's a difference of $5,000 between the two. I'm interested to hear what I'd like to hear what the other board members think, and I'd like to also hear public comment, knowing that there's more information, because we had public comment earlier and this information wasn't available for people to be aware of at that time. So, but I know we've limited that. So but maybe I could at least hear from the other directors what their thoughts are on this. And thank you, Karen. I got that from you.
No comments or contributions. All right.
Adrian, do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, I'm thinking that, honestly, I like the idea of in-person elections, and that's just a personal preference. But let me tell you, mail-in ballots have been a salvation for me, because I didn't have to rush to the polling place, because sometimes I'd be working in the lab until 7 or 8 o'clock and I couldn't make it. And so with a mail-in ballot, I could just fill it up 3 weeks in advance and boom, you're done. And I was always, I've always been very, very much wanting to vote, but sometimes I think that, people get extremely busy. You have children. And I think the only reason I voted when I was teaching my kids at home was because of mail-in ballots, to be honest with you. Those were a lifesaver for me, for anybody who's at home, and you could use that as a lesson. This is important to do, and this is what mommy and daddy are doing right now. So, that's an aside. I'm sorry, I don't mean to go off on those bunny trails, but...
It sounds like you support the mail-in option.
I think definitely is just from, people work all kinds of hours and they're in all kinds of situations. So the thing about it is that when it arrives at your doorstep, it's in your mailbox, you have this responsibility. It's there. The polling place literally has come to you,
Okay, I'm interested to hear from the others, from Jeff and Alex as well.
Didn't say on it. I think we should just be following what we've been doing. So I think the mail-in is a good idea. We just came out of COVID. There's still people. You look in the room here, people aren't showing up. So that could be another reason why people may not come to a polling place. Gasoline's a lot more expensive now. Okay. Save the carbon footprint, do the mail.
It's very, very, very sensible. I didn't think about it, but we all have neighbors. Green Mountain has a number of elderly stakeholders who are really staying at home, staying behind their door. And they would be disenfranchised. Because the people who now live next door to me, who lived in your parents' house, are older than your parents and much more frail. And so the only opportunity they would have to exercise voting rights is by a mail-in ballot, because, they literally, the elderly lady, a lot, you see the oxygen, things, up and down the up and down our drive. In front of my house, and so those people do have a right to vote, no matter what their situation. So,
well, a lot of people really pay attention to their water and sanitation. It's just not high on their list, and that would be they at least got something in the mail that they may not. Mm-hmm. So.
We just did this here. We just said do it in person or keep it on Zoom. And it looks like most people voted to just stay at home. So I'd say that speaks for itself right there. Then just do the mail-in. And that's what the election official recommended. Sounds like she recommended too. We still have to do the same thing. So.
Okay. So it sounds like
move on.
Alex, unless do you have any concerns with the mail-in, or are you good with that?
think he's good. Three thumbs up.
Okay.
Okay.
You wanted to say something, Rhonda? I missed.
No, I'm good. Thank you. I appreciate the input that everybody's provided, and so thank you.
Okay, I am going to make a motion to approve the district election official contract, including the approval of mail-in ballot election procedures, as outlined in the scope of work by Sue Blair. Do I have a second? Okay, Mr. Baker, Director Baker is a second. Is everybody willing to, do you want to discuss this further, Karen? Or would you, or shall we move on to a vote?
No other discussion. I was ready to go.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, so the vote to approve Sue Blair as our district election official is approved for contact.
Adrian, Jesse, there is the packet there sent to sign. And we talked about this last week, you and I. So there's a signature for you. It's sitting there on the table. Jesse's aware of it. And witnessing your signature, it's attested to by Alex. So if that can get signed, I can get it to Miss Blair sooner rather than later, and also save a signed copy to our records. So it's sitting right there.
Okay, thank you so much. Perhaps we can pause and make sure that this is signed.
Secretary and President. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Did you grab it already?
Yeah, I already sent it around.
Adrian has to sign it first, and then you have to watch her sign it.
All right, there we go.
Yeah, so I made a small typo correction on a date. I'll show you that.
Do I need to print my name, or is that not required?
Mm-hmm. Joe, did you make the edit on the document that Adrian is signing?
Yes, there was a date in there. It had a 2020 date. It said December 31, 2020, and she meant to put 2021. So I just hand wrote 2021. You guys could initial that after you. We'll just initial it, okay, and that'll be good.
Okay. And Alex.
So, Alex, if you flip forward, it's on the, in front of where you just signed it. There's a page at the bottom where I hand wrote a date. You have to keep going. Yeah, keep going backwards. You'll find it. Is that it?
It's at the bottom of blue ink.
Oh, there it is. So if you just write your initials there, and that way,
yes, thank you.
I mean, it was just a typo, but we don't need to retype
the dates on the front page, Joe.
Well, we'll write them in now.
Okay.
You mean the date?
Yeah, well, there was just a little arrow there.
Yes, to put the date on today. Yeah, we'll put it in now. So
all good.
Yep. So I'll
just the two of them need to initial it, or everybody?
No, just the two of them, because they signed it. So I'm going to put the date in for today, which is the 15th day of June. And then who is going to give this to Sue Blair?
Is it possible to scan that and just email it over to Jesse?
I'm sure.
Yeah, we should have it.
If you would like, I can take it over to Solterra Retreat. An office.
I'll at least get a copy.
I can scan a copy
send it to her, and then send, and then I'll take it over there tomorrow if you want.
Yeah, if you want to pick it up tomorrow, then
I'll just do that
tomorrow.
Okay, so I'll leave it for you. Okay.
All right. So that has been the approval of district election official contract, including approval of mail-in ballot elections, has been approved unanimously by the board by all five members. So item number six is directors' matters. There are A, B, and C. And so I have number A.
What was C? I only have A and B.
Okay.
That's the different agenda.
Okay. That's what Greg was talking about.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So do you need a copy of it?
No, I'm okay. I can read this. Thank you.
Okay. A is a discussion of a complaint filed in Jefferson County District Court on June the 4th, 2021. And item I, sub item I, is update on insurance maintained by the district related to legal defense. So I will open it up to, I haven't seen this lawsuit. I think one of our directors has received it. And you got it, right, Joe?
Well, I got it from Jesse, right? And here's a copy tonight. So I think, Jeff, you said you got
certain. You wanted me to bring it in. I brought it in. And
Jesse had it. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll get it on OneDrive. I'll have Jesse get it on OneDrive. I don't know.
I think it already is.
Is it? Yeah. Okay.
It is?
So basically.
You can find it. I looked for it at 5.
I didn't put it in there.
It was filed on June 4th, but I don't know when it was served on Jeff, but.
It was that evening.
Okay. Well, I will look up in the court records. They'll have to file a proof of service, and I'll be able to figure out, because that triggers the answer date is actually the service, not the filing date. So, okay. So this is, I just saw this. I looked over it. Complaint under Colorado Open Meetings Law. We probably we'll need an executive session or something to talk about the details of this, but we didn't schedule that. That's okay. Cause I'm thinking of what I'm going to do. I have a lawyer who works with me, her name is Anna, and she's a very experienced litigator. And I think I'm going to have her handle this because I think that would just make the most sense. And she could meet with everybody and kind of discuss the strategy on answering. And
well, I think we've got to wait for the underwriter for the district. Mm-hmm. Has got to make that determination. And then there could be they select an attorney, and there could be an option where we select an attorney. And we won't know anything probably till the end of the week.
Huh. Now I haven't. Oh, so somebody has already reached out to the insurance company.
Greg, when for the D&O. Had notified the underwriter when I notified the board at the board meeting that I'd been served, and the district through me was served, mm-hmm. then he notified the underwriter. So we're waiting for.
Now the director officers insurance is for directors and officers and acting in their official capacity. This complaint was filed against the district, not against the directors and officers, at least not this complaint isn't. I don't know that there's any other one, but
the directors were named in it.
Well, they're not named as defendants. I think there's definitely discussion about, allegations about things that happened. So I don't believe the directors and officers insurance would trigger on a complaint against the district. That would be my understanding of how the insurance works.
I would like to wait and see what the insurance adjuster said. We should have an answer by the end of this week is my
so. Okay.
Please.
All right.
Thank you.
So what you're saying is that you you don't want to have Ms. Timmons.
I'm just saying let's let the underwriter who handles this stuff, they told us to wait. They could assign somebody or we just need to wait and find out. So I'm trying to follow procedure and protocol. So let's not jump protocol. Let's wait, please.
And is there a, did you do a written complaint, a written claim, or how did you?
So after Jeff made mention of this last Tuesday, my understanding that the district or district officials were facing lawsuit, I reached out to Vicki Sullivan at the CSD pool. And her words to me were exactly this: if you do not file a claim, you run the risk of jeopardizing your insurance coverage. not wanting to do that, I sent the complaint to the CSD pool, and they are investigating it. And that, I think, is what Director Baker is talking about. So the CSD pool and legal representation we have through there is looking into it. The scariest phrase was, you run the risk of jeopardizing your insurance coverage if you don't file the claim. So the claim was filed.
Okay, yeah. And generally that coverage you're talking about is called directors and officers D&O policy. And it's when directors are facing complaints against them, you know, individually in their official capacity. This is against the district. So normally that coverage wouldn't cover the district. But if you want to wait until then, you can do that. That's perfectly fine.
Thank you.
Okay, so
question.
Is this the case that this, whatever this is about, is it on OneDrive? Is it something that I have access? I'd be interested to look at it.
Oh, Jesse, do we know where it is on OneDrive?
Greg, have you put it on OneDrive?
Actually, Doug did. And I, you know, without getting a hold of him exactly where it is, I think it's Board of Directors Legal. And look for the item that would be this past Monday or Tuesday. It would be dated this past Monday or Tuesday. That's where Doug put it.
Okay. Thank you.
But I'll re-verify and I could send you the path to the folder.
Because I looked for it, trying to find it. Legal documents under review, would that be it? Or Board of Directors? Board of Directors.
Do you know what the file's called, Greg?
Yeah. The name of the file would be helpful.
Also, I just should point out that this complaint does set up a conflict. There is now a conflict of interest between the district, between the directors, just the allegations. I'm not sure, you know, these are allegations. I'm not saying anything in here is true, but this sets up a conflict. So I'm not sure how that's going to play out. You know, let's wait and see what this insurance company says, if you'd like to wait for that. But there is an issue about that in this.
I agree. And then I need to make another conflict of interest would be the relief sought is that we are searching for, and I have that, let me read it so I won't get it wrong. And of course, I can't. Two, the relief sought is to enjoin the board from carrying out its void decision to hire a new attorney to represent the district until the conclusion of the pending recall. So I think that sets up a conflict of interest to be represented by our current attorney. I'm going to go so far as to say that sets up a conflict of interest with anybody from her firm to be representing us on that. So I think we have a decision to be made on who we're going to be choosing to do that. In the event that the insurance decides that is up to us versus them providing one, but we will have to have that decision made in time to file something next week.
Okay, so
that's when the date is. So I just want to put that out so that we can start thinking about that as well.
So I'll just let you know, it's my position. My firm does not have a conflict of interest with the district because of anything said in this complaint. That's my position. There is a conflict of interest between the directors because of the allegations. I'm not saying they're true. I'm just saying that these allegations set up a conflict of interest. And based on that, let's see how this plays out. There's no decision on the table for tonight, but there would be a conflict between the directors choosing their own counsel versus the district choosing counsel, because they have a conflict with the district because of these allegations. I'm not saying the allegations are true. I'm just saying that the allegations in here. So
I understand. Do you recognize that I am still a legal representative of the district?
Legal? I don't know what you mean by that.
I guess she's saying that we each individually represent one fifth of this board. And so, you know, there's three of us mentioned in there. So you have
right
three fifths of the board, Joe. So we are the district. The board is the district. Right.
Well, no, you're not. I mean, I know okay. The district is an entity. The board are people. Board members are people, and they wear two hats. They wear their official hat, acting in their official capacity. They also wear their personal hat, acting in their personal capacity. The district is a whole separate entity. So there's three different hats in the room. These allegations in here are making allegations that in some instances, the directors were not acting in their official capacity in the interest of the district. That sets up a conflict. I mean, I'm not saying these are true, but I'm just saying that this sets up a conflict because the interest, you now have split interests. On the one hand, if the allegations were true, that there were personal interests happening, you would have an interest. This is what creates a conflict. You have two different interests going on now. You have the interest in protecting yourself personally and in protecting yourself in your in official capacity and in protecting the district. Protecting yourself personally would be in conflict with protecting the district. And that's why there's a conflict set up. Again, you know, if the allegations are true. So that
I'm going to say that exact conflict exists with you and your firm as well. There is a personal interest at stake in this, since we are looking to, I won't put this in legalese, I'm sure you will do a new word, but this is basically asking to guarantee your job for the next couple months. So, or until the recall is ending. So that sets up a conflict. I'd like to acknowledge, and we should have this discussion of who we would be choosing to represent the district in this case. And that is for the district. It is for the name numbers in our capacity as the district representatives. But obviously I don't think that having anybody from your firm work on this is in the best interest of the district. We do have options. We did do an RFP. We can move on one of those that have litigation experience. We can talk about one of them, and we can talk about this later. We can talk about searching back out Scott Gessler. We do have a relationship with him. We can see if there's anything there, if they have a possibility, but it is something that we need to start thinking about and get on the table for next week to vote on who is going to be handling this.
Joe, you're on mute. You're on mute.
Jesse, can you unmute the boardroom computer? Jesse?
Very good.
Okay, so
yeah, of course it would mute at the literally for the 5 microseconds that I walk away, and then it mutes.
So just in response to that, for example, Scott Gessler was, he would have a conflict in handling this case because one of the claims in here is that one of the meetings that he attended, there are some allegations about that particular meeting.
Which meeting? I still haven't seen the complaint.
Here,
I have a problem. That's crazy.
Is it? Let me see here. Okay, it's a meeting on April 27th. Okay, it's the first claim for relief, the first open meetings law claim for relief. Okay, but so he obviously would not be able to, he would have a conflict with this. Any of the lawyers, they're, part of this complaint is about, I believe, this RFP process. And so it would need to be somebody that hasn't been engaging in this RFP process. That would be another conflict there. My firm does not have a conflict here.
Well, wasn't Gessler your employee at the time?
He was, he had a co-counsel agreement with me. He was not my employee. He was working for his own firm.
Sounds like the same thing.
I mean, I can, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it
sounds like there are discussion points and we can go through those, but I don't think we should make any assumptions at this point as to who will be representing us on this, because that is a decision for the district to make. And right now that's going to be a vote of the majority.
Representing the board members, you got to get that straight. When you say us, representing us, I
representing the district.
Personal interests at stake here, and that is an issue. And there's no question that, you know, you're welcome to get your own lawyer if you would like to have some of your personal interest, I don't know, protected. But the district needs to be protected here. No question about it. There needs
to be. The district does have, if we're going to talk about this, but we don't, I don't know how to argue with you when you also have a personal conflict here. And I don't think this is the right conversation to be having. So what you're doing is you're saying that you're representing the district that right now is represented by the five people in front of you, and you don't want to acknowledge that. Is that what I'm hearing? That we're not, I mean, this is, we vote to represent our district. So that's how we have to do it. And we're going to have to hire somebody who can acknowledge that fact.
I can tell you right now, if the three of you vote to hire somebody on this, you will be setting up a disqualification of that counsel in this court proceeding. And that will happen. And that will be a bad thing for this district to have that happen.
Thanks for your input. Can we just table this for now until we, I guess I'd like to hear from the adjuster and what they, this could all be pointless anyway. They could just assign somebody, which is what Greg had said. So is that okay?
All right. Okay, so I think that we can move to table this discussion.
Please.
All right. Okay. Do I have a second? Okay.
I don't think we have the motion, but I think
I'm just gonna do it.
Okay.
I'm just gonna do it. So everything.
I will second your motion.
You know, Lord, hallelujah, it's been done. Okay.
I'm
sorry. What was the motion? I missed.
The table this conversation until.
Okay. Thank you.
Make sure that we have everything. You know, whether, you know. Okay, so all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so we unanimously decide to table this discussion regarding the complaint filed in Jefferson County District Court on June 4th, 2021. So item number B on the agenda is the RFP for non-litigation related introduction. And the second item is question and answer discussion for the public. I've received calls and things like that. You know, people wanted to know about this. So I would like to open it up. Other board members, would you like to get started? Karen, do you have anything to say? Rhonda, any thoughts on this?
No.
Rhonda, you said no?
I don't have anything.
I don't have anything. Okay. I think that I just looked through, I Googled both gentlemen, and I found that Mr. Cote, I have my notes in my computer bag, but so I can remember this correctly. He's had a lot of special district experiences. Both Mr. Shohat has. He has, Shohat seems to have this water rights, and basically he was involved in a case in which he was dealing with Nestle, you know, bottling of water, where they were supplying water for Nestle, and he was representing the interests of the, I think it was Chaffee County. So did anyone here have a chance to look into the background of these two gentlemen? These two firms?
I just recall the latter firm they submitted for the original RFP, I think 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay.
That's what I recall.
That's what you remember. Okay, so there were some important things concerning water. And then Mr. Cote, there was something about, involvement. I forget what the resolution was. There was a discrimination lawsuit, and they were representing, I believe they were representing the a metropolitan district, Harris Park Metropolitan District. And there was something else too. If I can pause for a moment and I apologize for the delay. Anyway. But yes, so both of them had special district experiences. So that's what I remember looking through their stuff. A lot of them are, what I guess would be standard special district. Here it is. Okay. So, and if anybody would like to have a look on this, there's just a few notes. There was a Park County Fish Commissioner said officials harassed him until he cried, forcing him to resign. That resulted in a discrimination lawsuit. And the Tuisson was the senior partner, and Cody were the ones who were dealing with this. So then later there was the development of Tuisson and Cody, and now I think it becomes a different firm. Because there is now a new partner, and Mr. Tuisson retired. I have something about the Will-O-the-Wisp water project and the development of large high-density housing projects, so 400 high-density units called Tanglewood in the Bailey area. And the residents did not want this development. It appears that Tuisson and Cody's firm were working to assist the development of high density, but that's just an allegation or something. But I have the references here, and if you'd like them, interested, I can send that to you. If you're not, that's fine. Okay.
Send them to the board.
Okay, if you'd like. Okay, I'll do that.
Please, thank you.
Okay, so I just have a few notes. Actually, I was able to find that previous complaint, and I can tell you where it is. It's listed as, it's listed as .co18.pdf. It's on here. Okay, It's docco18.pdf. That was the previous thing we were talking about, the lawsuit. So it is on OneDrive. I just couldn't find it. Okay. So then we can move on for question and answer discussion for the public. So if nobody else has anything they would like to say about these two attorneys, I can open it up to the public. Anybody would like to talk, please?
Christopher, you're unmuted. Go ahead.
Thank you. A couple months ago, the public was assured that they had no idea how this engagement letter came. It just fell like manna from the heavens. But the Quora request and the emails tell a completely different story. This one law firm is a law firm that Greg and his daughter met one of the gentlemen in the firm because they go to church together. It also shows that then Greg forwarded this information to Karen, and Greg and Karen had a series of conversations about it, and then Greg forwarded it to Scott Gessler. So when Scott Gessler said to us he had no idea how this came about, that was a bold-faced lie. That's because that's what the emails indicate. Further, there's another email where Greg says that it'd be better for him if they can find an attorney that was more aligned with his views, because that would be easier. All of this stuff is horrible. And because you all set down the gauntlet that you wouldn't provide information, and the only way we can get information is to Quora it, well, we have. And there's a conversation, and Rhonda, I don't mean to throw you under the bus with this, where you talk about how hurtful it is when people say things that you know aren't to be true. And that's an email exchange when you and Greg talk about, well, you guys aren't hiding anything. The emails say otherwise. And then the reason that you all, your feelings get so hurt and you get butt sore because people make allegations, is because you guys keep doing untrustworthy things. And the more that you do untrustworthy things, the least that people expect you to do trustworthy things. If you told me that the sky was blue, I would literally have to go out and check it for myself because I couldn't believe you. And that's not because I'm a person who doesn't believe people. It's because these documents, these emails, show that you guys aren't being straight with us. And if you're willing to lie about little things, what else are you lying about? You know, there's that old saying that the cover-up is worse than the crime. You know, that this director, let me go back a little bit. Karen Morgan, I find it very rich that you who are up to your eyeballs in conflict are trying to pick out conflict somewhere else. That just amuses me. But it also speaks to the corrupt intent of this board. And I'll go back and say it not for your sake, but for the public's sake. The job of the Green Mountain Water and Sanitation District is to provide clean and safe water and sanitation services to the residents of Green Mountain. That is your job. You have allowed John Henderson to lead you off of a cliff, and off of that cliff you shall fall, but not because of us, because of you. We want a board that is committed to providing clean and safe water and sanitation services to Green Mountain. There are other entities that are in charge of growth and what happens to Rooney Valley. So if I were to capitalize this current situation, I would call it cynicism, because you don't believe the people who are charged to do what they do will do it. Cronyism, because you want your friends and the people that think like you to be the one controlling the levers of the sanitation district. And corruption, because that's what this is. This is public corruption. Thank you.
I will answer if we're doing answers.
I think that's legitimate. I said question and answer. Okay.
Good, yeah, sorry. I looked like he was still talking, but I'll go over that a little bit, because it sounds like, once again, there's a big misunderstanding about what's going on. It sounds like you are upset about an engagement letter that came out of the understanding of the executive session that we had on, and which we announced after the executive session that we would be looking at engagements with other firms for the purposes of I don't remember the exact words after the executive session, but we were talking at that point about options with Joe, with her firm, with other people. And that was exactly what we went in there with, Scott. And we had legal counsel at the time that that might not be a good idea to do. So he brought up some points during that session and we listened to him. So we scheduled another agenda item, which was putting this engagement, looking at this firm on the next agenda, which is what we are doing. So in the next, however long, it was probably a week later, just like all of these, we did ask about this firm. Maybe this was one of them that, yes, when we heard the name that we recognized, because I had applied for this before. They came through the other RFP process. So this is a firm that at least some people have interviewed with before. I have not, I do not know them, but the senior board members do know this firm from before. So all of that kind of came together and we moved to get things together. I think Scott did call and say, you know, just to check out credentials or whatever, he is doing his due diligence. So all of this came together after that executive session. And then it came through there. So there is, if what you are concerned about is that we showed up with an engagement letter at the meeting, that is just the process. We did say that we were going to be talking to them and they sent an engagement letter if we wanted to have it ready. And I do want to have things ready. You know, I always do that. Want to have things ready for if we're going to vote on them and go through it. That doesn't mean that there is any decisions made. That is called being prepared. So that's all there is.
Okay, thank you. Is there someone else who would like to speak?
Go ahead.
Thanks, Jesse. So, Director Morgan, you just confirmed on the record that you all in executive session spoke about something that is prohibited in an executive session. You just now, thank you very much. We are going to get at least one of our claims for relief with this judge upcoming on this court case. I cannot believe the things that I hear in these meetings. You know, at least at the legislator level, they do a better job of covering it up. Okay.
I know, because I don't have anything to cover up here. And I don't know if that's what you don't understand, because the purpose of the executive session was indeed to receive legal advice about that. So we went through possible remedies and how they would affect our case. And he did go through all of that with us. So for example, Ms. Timmons just went through and said, well, this person is going to have a conflict or that person is going to have a conflict. And all of this kind of falls under there. So even if, and that all falls under, I have no problems with any of that. But even if there was a problem, you understand that the standard of metric for like the executive session is that most of it is falls under there. Of course, you're going to have other little things that but it's less than 5% of the meeting is to come out. So we scheduled an agenda item. No decisions were made there. And that's what we did. And we did have the discussion at the next time. So saying that we're going to have a discussion and let's move on that and getting things prepared is.
I think that you kind of cut Rita off. Did you have more to say, Rita?
That's totally okay. I'd rather they speak than not speak on this issue, because the metrics of an executive session are narrowly defined in case law. And that has nothing to do with what you guys discussed, which is the hiring of a new general counsel for our district. That is secret, what you did. You did something in secret, and it's going to be the judge that's going to decide whether what you did was right or wrong. That's not my question, though, tonight. I have another question, because I need all of y'all to really get on the record, whether it's here or in evidentiary testimony, it's going to happen. So my question tonight is, and I'm very upset, I really apologize, because this board was so tightly run before. And then Director Morgan comes on here and Greg Kripkowski, and they are creating a disaster zone for everybody here with conflicts up the wazoo. So my question is this, Rhonda, I have an email from April 28th from you to Greg Krupkowski. And you have asked in this email to send the engagement information for David Shohet's firm to yourself. And you also said, quote, "I might be interested in talking with them. I currently need a contract attorney for my business. I'd like to know whether you had any discussions at all with David Shohet's firm." That's my question.
I'm happy to answer that. The answer is no. None.
Okay, I'm done.
Brenda, you're unmuted. Go ahead.
Did you hear me answer?
Oh, yeah, I don't know, Rhonda. I don't know. I'm unmuted. This is Brenda Bronson.
Oh, it was okay. I just want
to
make
the question wasn't to you, was it, or was it to Karen Morgan?
No, I think it was directed at me.
Oh, okay.
I heard.
All right, you didn't have. Okay.
I just want to make sure that I was unmuted. Thanks.
Okay. I still want, my question is, it's short. I want this board to discuss why we need to hire another general attorney. Your problem with you board, you are not the district. You represent the district. You are not the district. You represent the district until you're recalled. But I want the board to tell me why we need to hire another general counsel. I'm lowering my hand.
I guess being quiet, I will jump in and say, in my opinion, I need somebody to see with board experience. I know I hear things about how I have disrupted things. Rita just said it was all me, but in my opinion, the problems with the board, with this lawyer came even before she did not represent Brad and Carl. Ask her, ask them, if they felt represented by her. And it's not a matter of picking out which board members you agree with and which ones you feel like talking to today. It's a matter of staying impartial and offering impartial advice. And I do believe Ms. Timmons has some good litigation experience, but I'll even go back to the last meeting where, I mean, we had to figure out minutes again. We had to go back to the beginning on everything. And I keep going back to that where she was, "Bill, you put this on the record, write this down." And that just speaks to no board experience, because this is where we got in the problem with the minutes. You don't write down every action. This is not dictating to a court stenographer. This is writing down the motions and board actions. That's what minutes are. And then we end up fighting about things and going back through and going. So for me, it's a matter of having somebody who knows board dynamics and get along with five people. And I don't think she has seen that ever, because I know we have seen that from day one with Brad and Carl. I think there is a lot of talent out there. And there's just the way things will work. This isn't going to fix with me either. You recall me, you have somebody who can't work with three people, your problem is still going to be there. So that's my opinion. You have to be able to work with five people and keep yourself out of the fray.
Is there another person?
Mm-hmm. Do you want me to?
Go ahead.
Kathy, you're unmuted. Go ahead.
Okay. My question is for the whole board. And I'd like to know, is Adrian the only person who did any research on these attorneys. I mean, it seems to me like Karen and Alex and Jeff are dead set on, since I've come to these meetings, dead set on getting another attorney, no matter what. Whether or not it's needed is irrelevant. So my question is, it seems to me that Adrian's the only one who did any research or any homework on this. And if that isn't true, would you kindly clarify that? Anybody who did some research?
I did do research. I have read. I am sure that everybody has looked at all of these
firms. What's the information on them? Could you share it then? Everything you found out about them. Kindly share that with us.
What I'd like to see in my first criteria is going to be to interview them. So I'd like to see that, because like I just said, it's going to be a matter of being able to get along. It's going to be a matter of being able to identify the client.
Karen, can you please answer my question?
Did you ask me? No, I am answering the question. And I didn't realize, I thought we were going to be asking about the RFP, not about.
No, I'm not.
Because we did have
a specific question, please, if you would. Kindly answer it.
I answered your question.
You didn't tell me any information that you did any research. You claimed you did, but I didn't. You didn't tell me anything. You didn't say anything.
Well, that's because we still have interviews to get through, and I'd like to go through that. So that doesn't, listing off some information I read from them.
Okay, then,
isn't
thank you.
Do it. So what I'm going to do is, I do think they both have litigation experience. They both have very much more board experience. I like the Evergreen firm myself,
Karen,
because of their banking experience.
Hello.
But you're not listening right now, and I just listed things off. So,
I don't care what you think.
Okay,
I'm asking what you discovered when you did your alleged research on these two firms and these two attorneys. That's the question. No answer. Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. Can you find somebody else?
There's nobody else.
Nobody else would like to ask any more questions?
I think this is Deb Romero.
Okay, thank you.
You're unmuted, Deb.
Hi, Deborah Romero. This whole thing just makes me ill, like literally ill. It weighs on me constantly. It's all I think about, and it's so unnecessary, all of this divisiveness. And there's so many things to say. The if you want to talk about the RFP, the impetus for that was that, if I remember correctly, that Joe was not getting to the things that, you know, in the district that need to be done. And I can tell you from how it has affected me, that May 25th meeting, Karen, where you were yelling at Joe, I know how that made me feel. And I just it's so enervating. It just sucks the life out of me. And it causes me to be like not tending to the things that I need to be tending to. I can guess that might be affecting Joe the same way. So if you were not constantly attacking her for every little thing, she might actually have the mental energy to get to these other things if she didn't feel like she was constantly under attack and having to defend herself. I will tell you that the discourse has gone completely downhill. I was listening to the May 25th meeting where you were yelling at Joe, and I'm sitting in my chair wanting to start yelling. It's not productive. And we need to get back to civil discourse. Something I've tried to bring up with you guys and the emails I've sent to all five of you, the 3-2 voting. When you guys, the three of you, say the board decided, and meaning the three of you decided, I as a constituent do not acknowledge that as a board decision. Technically, yes, but not in the interest of the district. It's in the interest of you guys, not the interest of the district. And the difference, and I've thought about this a lot because I spent all my time thinking about all y'all, and the difference between 2021 and 2018, when it was Adrian, Jeff, and Alex, up against Brad and Carl. The courts vindicated and validated that Adrian, Jeff, and Alex were correct in terminating the IGA. I don't see anything that validates what you've been doing as disrupting the whole functioning of the board. I love hearing the discussion, like when Rhonda was talking about the business of the district. I want to hear these meetings being about the running of the district. I don't want to hear about battles between you guys and lawyers. And now we have lawsuits and it's costing us money. Karen, when you were nitpicking about Joe raising her hourly rate $25 an hour to $250, and then these RFPs come in and you have people who are making far more money and you're considering you want to hire them after you nitpicked Joe's hourly rate, it doesn't fly with me. And that other Showhet firm, their person who's cheaper than Joe is very inexperienced. Joe has experience. So I don't see it. I'm just trying to be as objective as possible here. And none of this makes sense to me. And the rules are constantly changing. And I want this district to play nice. I don't acknowledge the three of you guys voting and saying that that is the board's decision. It's not. I've asked you guys before for more consensus decision making. And I have, see how angry I'm. We're all angry. This is what has been fostered. And I'll tell you one thing you guys did where it's just like you just completely lost me. That is when you three voted to approve Alex's 21-page minutes that Adrian said had factual errors in them. I guess if I remember correctly, she had time to go back and review the recording. She said there were factual errors in it. Rhonda wanted more time to review the recording because she remembered things that it seems like the minutes were not correct. And she wanted to verify it. And you guys, without any reason at all, rushed through the approval of those minutes. And this is something that's nothing to do with lawsuits or recalls or anything. That was so disrespectful to your fellow board members. And there was no reason for it. There was no call for it to just rush ahead and approve minutes that people had legitimate questions and concerns about. So I'm sorry, I you guys have been my friends and political allies. And so this discord has nothing to do with local politics or anything. It's the functioning of the board and the disrespect that has become contagious. It has become, do you know, people in the whole community are talking about you guys. This never needed to happen. And now we're costing the district even more money when supposedly you've been concerned about how much Joe's legal fees are. You know, I'm sorry, I'm gonna stop now because I hope I've made my point. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ramirez. Anyone else like to speak? Anyone would like to answer that? Okay. Go ahead.
I think it was, I'm sorry, I don't remember how.
Are you tired?
It was how long? Christopher had talked before, are we starting over 5 minutes each time?
I think in order, how do I?
Oh, sorry, Christopher, right. I'm sorry.
I don't need 5 minutes though.
Okay, I'm trying to keep everything fairly balanced for everybody and just keep it to the five.
Okay.
If I can just read an email from Greg Prakowski to Scott Gessler dated April 28th, when he said, "I'm engaged" is the engagement document they sent me this morning. I described to Ms. Foley, the firm's associate attorney, my vision of how this would work. However, as I said a few times in our conversation, I take my directions from the majority of the board. If my vision is close to that majority, then perhaps that's the direction we'll go. If not, I stand ready to correct my trajectory. And then he goes on about having something that's postable. And I'm not even going to talk about the email where he and Karen Morgan were emailing during a board meeting about who in the F does Christopher Ireland think he is. Yes, Quora is a wonderful thing. What I'm saying is this. I believe that there are directors of goodwill who are way over their skis. I honestly believe that. But I also believe that there are directors, and according to the emails from the district manager, who are stirring the pot constantly and always. Some of these emails, you know, talking about how this firm is and we have to rush it through so we can vote it on, and then talking about what they can post by to meet, you know, it's about skirting the edge of the line. You know, that is corruption. These things aren't about skirting the edges. It's standing in the middle of, and that you are working on our behalf. And out of this whole time with the recall, not once have any of these directors talked about the district. They've talked about the board, and they've talked about their majority. They serve the district. They are not the district. We are the district. And every time we try to talk, they basically tell us to go screw ourselves. So that's why people who say, you know, I supported you, we were allies, people say, I don't know what happened to them. It's not because of us. It's because of you. And not for a moment has there been a shred of introspection. Not for a moment has there been a moment of reconsideration. It's just double down, delay, obstruct, delay, obstruct, delay, obstruct. And another thing, you all are using the resources of this district for your own political purposes. But that's another issue for another day. But that day will come. Because here's what happened. Your arrogance, your recalcitrance, that it's painting not for us who started this conversation, but for the ever enlarging audience that's witnessing this, you're making our case for us. And if you're really concerned about the district and about the financial cost, the decent thing for you to do is to resign. And not because you're bad people, but because that's what's in the best interest of the district. And Karen, some of your responses, go back and listen to yourself, girl. It's word salad. It's non sequitur after non sequitur after non sequitur. And then 20 minutes later, you complain about how frustrated you are that we wasted the 20 minutes that you, in fact, yourself have wasted. I just don't know. I don't know what it's going to take to get across to you guys. At every step, you guys have played a delay tactic to try to thwart the recall. But the recall isn't about the district. The recall is about you guys, because we're trying to save our district, because you guys have hijacked it and you've co-opted it and you have destroyed the public trust. Karen, I endorsed you. I would love to say that I support you. I just can't. And that's not because of me. That's because of you.
Okay. That's done. Anybody else wish to speak? Can't see who that is.
No, there's nobody.
Nobody else? Okay, going. Nobody else wishes to speak? That's it? No responses? No responses. Anybody on the phone? *9. I wanted to remind them. Basically, it's *9, right?
That's correct.
That's right. So anybody else willing to address the board, we would be happy if you would. I think we can close that out for the question and answer discussion for the public. Now, item number C, notice of intent to schedule interviews and make selection between the two firms that responded to the RFP to obtain legal services for non-litigation matters. I'd like to open that up. The two choices are, there's a misspelling here, it says Cody Marchant. And it's COATY, Marchant Woods PC. And the second choice is Monson, Cummins, and Shohet LLC. So I think, I don't know what the difference is between PC. I think PC is private corporation. And LLC means licensed limited corporation. Is that correct, Joe?
LLC means limited liability company.
Okay, little limited liability. Okay, thank you. So that. Okay, limited liability company. Okay, so does anybody have anything to a notice of intent to schedule interviews and make selection between the two firms? Okay. Any contributions that anyone would like to make? Rhonda, do you have any ideas? Anybody? No. Okay.
So we are scheduling interviews. Is there a motion? Does this need to go on there? I don't understand.
Who wrote this? I didn't write this. Notice of intent to schedule interview, make selection between the two firms, responded to the RFP to legal services.
This was added by Director Baker.
Oh, Baker?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
So I just didn't know. Since I wasn't involved in this, I didn't put that down. That was, would you like to lead, introduce this?
Yeah, I'd like to add it to the agenda for a week from tonight.
A week from tonight?
Yep.
God, I'd like to have 2 weeks. Okay.
What's your vision for this?
What? What's your vision for this? Well, we've been talking about it for like a couple of months now. So, and then we waited till we had candidates. We tried to see if we could extend it out. We didn't extend it out, so we have two candidates. I think we put it out there, people to review, post it, so people can take a look at these two firms. And then I think we moved to interview and down select a week from tonight.
So anyway, I'm just going to ask Jesse, are both sets of resumes available on the Green Mountain Water website, just to make sure?
They're in the board packet.
They're in the board packet. So, but they're not, the thing is that I get this question all the time. I couldn't find it on the website. Okay, so, what I mean?
If
just put it where they can find it.
If
and it's redundant.
A different setup, we can, we could pull those out and ask them on the front of the site or something.
Actually, what I would ask for is you have the RFP and you have candidate A and candidate B. Nobody can say that they haven't read it. That's just mom. I'm a teacher. Let me tell you.
And you probably know how many students dodge reading.
Oh, no. The thing is that you didn't tell me that.
The front of the site. We could do that.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to give you more work, but,
I thought, I'm sorry. The last 6 months are a blur of different things.
Exhausting.
Did we have the RFP on this? We had the RFP on the site.
Yes.
So
yes.
We could repost the RFP
yes.
along with the resumes in succession.
Uh-huh.
And we can just put that right back
and
up.
And just we can say is people, take a look at this and come with your questions. But we have to come up with our questions, right?
Well, last time we just did was one question per director, and
yes.
just whatever five questions we ended up asking the first firm, we had to ask.
So, that's the one thing I'd like to, to be consistent with the prior.
Okay, yes. And actually, what we could do is we could ask the public if they would like to, just put it out to the board. If they can address us and say, if I were a director, these are the questions I would ask.
When you say put it out to the public, what do you
mean? If you have any, preferences or questions for the candidates, contact the board members.
As part of the posting?
As part of the posting. And say, I don't know.
It would be helpful if we had an official wording. I prefer to
you need
take the wording from the board, pop that on the site. I
Whatever you ask, you have to ask all. You can't have targeted.
No. And so non-targeted questions.
If it helps, researching around, I found the transcript of the February 12th, 2019 meeting. It was a series of questions put to, I can't tell you the name of the firm, and the other firm was Dizel Timmons. So you brought in the other representative first, asked these questions, and then that person left the room, and then Joe came in, and I assume the same questions were asked. I have that transcript. So I can get it scanned and sent to all of you tomorrow.
Terrific.
Madam President, I would recommend that we just stay consistent with what we did before.
All right.
And with those, I think we had like 5 questions, yes. Greg, mm-hmm. or something like that.
Yes.
Or something
yes.
like that.
It wasn't much more than that, yes.
Do y'all remember if, maybe Joe, if you remember too, I was only just sitting at the board meetings, but were the questions emailed out beforehand, or were they like that night that they were read off?
I think they're read off the night of. I think the point of it, like in an interview like that, is not to prepare for
okay.
it. It's to kind of go.
Maybe it was the manager question. I feel like, or there was follow-up questions on the manager or something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of interviews. Well, over the last few years, so I'm trying to remember which one.
I didn't get any questions in advance to me from a year ago.
No, I do like Adrian's suggestion of maybe can we of the public submitting comments to questions to the board, and maybe then we all pick 2 questions rather than have. I mean, how many questions are you thinking of to go? Is that what I'm hearing, that people are, you want the public to be asking questions, Director Baker?
I didn't say that. I said 5 questions before.
Okay.
We selected as a board to ask each company that was interviewing. I don't really have a problem with the public. I mean, that'd be good. I mean, but it's just how we'd have to get consensus on how that is. So.
Yeah. So that I like her suggestion that if we want to have public questions, that maybe it just goes through and somebody can adopt one of those questions if they want, you know, submit your questions, and then they would be all vetted, and then we'd have the same 10 questions each, or 10 questions total.
We'll get through 10 questions.
That's an hour.
I get through 10 questions. And we literally got through 5 questions in 1 hour, and I have done a lot of interviewing in my life. And 5 questions is put you right at an hour. If you're lucky,
per person
yeah.
last time.
That's
yeah.
right.
I believe it. So, okay. So let me start over. I guess I'm hearing 2 different things. If every director gets 1 question, I should prepare 1 question. Then
was a set of questions already that with the board had compiled at the last selection.
Well, do I ask the same ones?
Okay. All right. So I'm making more assumptions that I have questions. You're suggesting taking the same questions as before, and then there is no other ones. Just take those 5 questions from before and be done, and have those.
It's just a suggestion.
That works. I was just hearing something different. Thank you for clarifying.
All right.
As an external listener, what are we doing with public questions?
I was going to suggest looking at the transcript from the last meeting first, maybe seeing if
we're able to.
Is there questions in there?
We had 5 questions.
The transcript, Alex had questions. There's lots of other banter, you know, in the transcripts, but what you can glean from it is questions. Jeff's right. It's approximately 5, 6, something like that. It's not It's not 10 or a dozen.
Can you share what those five questions are?
I thought of something that's against I think, wasn't Mr. Shohat one of the interviewees who we asked those five questions to?
Well, hold on.
The most recent one was, and I apologize, I don't have the firm memorized, but it was a woman who came in. This was at the April 12th, 2019 meeting. And it was Joe. So the other woman went first and then Joe. And that was, I found a transcript of that and got to this part of the meeting where the questions were asked. And I've got that and I can send that to you. The other firm that popped up was when the board, and again, way before my time, was an August, September timeframe of 2018. The general counsel for the firm was Jennifer Ivey. And the board was exploring getting an attorney to handle litigation as I guess Big Sky was heating up. At the September 17th, 2018 meeting, there were representatives of several law firms at that meeting. And one of them was this firm that put in. Joe was also in that meeting on September 17th, 2018. And in that meeting, I guess no decision was made on an attorney other than to let Jennifer Ivey go. And that was done. At some point in October, Brian Matisse was brought in. And then he left in January
2019.
Yes.
So any questions?
So I didn't delve into questions from September 18th, 2018, because I think that had a different bent to it. It was definitely geared towards litigation. The board found itself without an attorney come late January 2019, and then brought in these two firms and asked these questions. That's the transcript I have.
Steffel and Shohat.
Yes. So to make to your point, because if that firm has already seen the questions.
Yes.
Might I propose each director put their own question, mm-hmm. submit that to Greg prior to next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So is that okay? Does that sound good to the board? Everyone will have one question.
Okay.
Are we going to accept questions from the public? Because I'm open to reviewing questions that people submit and adopting one of those.
What we could do is we could just ask if you have any questions that you would like to ask the attorneys, submit them to the board, and the board, you know, the board members will decide.
Okay. Well, how about if we leave a time,
mm-hmm. yes,
at the end of their interview,
yes.
once the public's heard the interview, then you give like a point or portion of time to have the public ask.
Yes.
Oh, I think that we've opened the.
Yeah.
What?
Alex Carlson, was that you chiming in there?
Oh, I'm sorry. You probably heard my typing. I very much apologize.
No, that's okay.
No. I thought I was cutting off Director Peters. I thought that leaves a little bit open to not standardizing the interviews if we just have that open. And what if one person speaks for an hour and the other one doesn't? I mean, are we doing like within an hour?
That's the problem when you have, it is a problem in an interview. You have to ask the same grouping of questions identical to all individuals in fairness. So that's... Okay. Why you do that kind of a format.
I think it would
I guess I would think that just doing the five questions and then ending would be more standard than trying to introduce
then do element again. I know it's pushing 7 questions too many, Jeff, for an hour.
Yeah, it is. I know it doesn't sound like it, but you were there, Adrian, you were there. It's you're always just saying, pushing an hour.
And I was going to suggest like at least one or whatever question that comes straight from a public, or if any given director wants to give up their question to take a question straight from the public, I don't see an issue with that. I mean, you can straight up use the public's question.
You know what we could do is we can ask the public to email, you know, the board. Just email the board, and you know we can just choose from a pool of questions. You know, make that voluntary. So if you have questions for if you have questions for both, let's make it very clear. You have questions for both legal counsel. You know, formulate a question, submit it to the board. So what I would say is, you have a question for both law firms. It has to be exactly the same. And then email those questions to the board, and we will attempt, you know, to be honest with you, you can't do it for everybody, right?
The director can choose from that list.
Yes.
Use your question from the public as your question.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds good. That sounds good.
So far, we would need
that is posted as part of the RFP posting,
yes,
along with their 2 resumes.
Yes. Yes.
So just to rehash, 5 or 6 questions, like 6 questions will be straight up from a public and 5 questions from director, where any given director can use any of the public's questions.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. How are you going to pick the one? Who gets the 1/6 question out of all of the public? So I like it. If you just have 5 questions, everybody picks the question. And if you think they submitted a good question, just go. And so you do the 5, you keep it in an hour, and then it's standardized and everybody knows what's going on. I mean, how else do you pick? We can't have another meeting to pick which of the public's questions we're gonna ask.
If the public would please send their questions to the directors, I promise you, I will pull one of your questions. Last question, and I will use that as my question.
Okay, so it's director's discretion.
Yeah, please email the board.
If you please, and it will be, and it will be to the director's discretion to choose your.
I will use one of the public's.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds. I think that's wonderful.
I don't want to throw one more wrench in here because I'm loathe to do so. But do you want to put a word limit or word count on the question?
What a good idea.
Well, I mean, don't go over like 3 lines,
yeah.
General.
Well, they get wordy. So you have to make it like, you know, you have a general statement. You can have like a A or B to it. But yeah, please keep it brief. Brief is better so they can, you know, and if you have subset of that question, make it a subset to that question. But brief is always better.
Just if I was in the position of the public, the clarification of knowing that I can't add 7.
The problem in an interview, when you have a paragraph long question, you have to keep repeating the question back.
Right.
So if you keep it brief, they can write it down.
Multi-part
and they can refer
to
it. And or we just hand that set of questions. If we can get that to you guys prior to that, we can have a copy of that to hand to each candidate.
Sure.
Company.
Yeah.
They have that. We will all have a copy of that.
We can put the questions up as part of make sure they're. I don't think there'd be an issue if they were in the board packet or whatever the post.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want it going out before.
Yeah,
No. We want to see how they respond. We need to see how they respond.
We need a little bit of, you know, be able to surprise.
So if I may, I heard hour. Do you want to start then at 6 or would we want to start at 6:15 to let the board kind of talk through these questions a little bit? Then again, that would be in public. I don't know. So like 15 minutes to organize before
that sounds good. Yeah, I would agree with that. Yes.
So start at 6:15. We start at 6, 15 minutes to get through our stuff. We kick off at 6:15. 7:15 should be the finish of one. Another 15 minutes in between interviews So that makes it 7:30 is start kickoff to the second interview, finish at 8, and then down selection.
8:30.
Yeah, I'm sorry, 8:30. Sorry. 8:30.
And whatever, as you're going through this process, the thing that helps me the most is just making sure websites work in the way we need, whatever we need to do, email me with the steps or email Greg or whoever, and that way we'll know this is what's going on the site, and the sooner the better. You know, it just gives us more time because I do have a lot of other stuff.
So can you need to have somebody email that
item. Can you send out what your requirements are? You know, think about that to the board. Send them out. Let us know.
Yeah.
Make sure we got everything covered for you, because I know how this goes. And then that way we've all seen it. Everyone check your email. Can you let us know when you would probably have this up?
Yeah. I mean, I think we'd have the RFP portion of it. I think we can, everything's existing as a document that can go up right away. And then, you know, as far as having the questions ready, you know.
Well, we got to give the public some time, or at least I've committed to that. So if the public would send them to the board or to me.
We'll try and do the RFP. I'll try and get that, you know, early tomorrow.
But we need to have the questions to you before probably, what's the drop dead date on Monday?
I mean, just before, because we can't post them, like you said. So it's just for us to, you know, just to have you guys.
Give me a date and time just to make sure we're not putting you guys under stress.
Let's put it in. Close business on Monday would be nice, because, you know, running up to the meeting on Tuesday, if we're last minute, like, oh, I emailed that 10 minutes ago and we're trying to get the Zoom meeting started and we're doing this, it'd be easier if everything's buttoned up by Monday.
Okay, so close of business Monday, Madam President. Does that sound good with you?
Yeah, fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Close of business Monday, and then what I do is that I submit the question. Submit question to you, Mr. Davenport. Correct? Okay, and then Kopowski.
So question, who should email the two parties to show up at 6:15?
Well, Greg.
That's got to be Greg.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I could, I just don't take it. Email coming from the IT guy, it's going to probably seem sort of...
I'll get in touch with him. If you have a preference, tell me. If not, I'll go eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Well, alphabetical.
Okay, so I think, are there any further issues that you can think of, Jesse or board members, that pertain to item number C regarding items number 1 and 2?
Yes, I just want to recap my understanding. I'm understanding that I'm coming up with one question. Every board director is coming up with one question that could be from the public, that could be their own. The public will be getting emails submitted by Monday, close of business Monday, so that we can figure that out and submit. Am I too quiet? We can select our questions. We will meet at 6 o'clock on Tuesday to interview, but we will start that at 6:15 after we get ourselves organized. And Greg will be emailing them out to invite them. Do I understand everything correctly?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. So, is that basically, so we have wrapped up item number 6C?
Madam President,
yes,
do we need to have an official vote for Jesse to post all these things, or if that's just an action?
I don't see how we can. We
just
need to
don't
vote.
Wanna,
I don't
yeah,
know.
No.
I don't know. Do you think it's
yeah.
necessary?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I just sometimes, you know, this is just this is not a vote. This is just for getting information. I think, right?
Administrative. Fine.
Administrative, looking for information. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a query. Okay, item number 7. Other matters.
I have a couple. Should I go ahead with the, can you hear me okay? Can anybody hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, now I got it. Now I heard you. Thank you. Couple things. Tonight, a number of folks mentioned CORA requests, and some of them were emails that I was quoted in and other directors, and I'm not even aware. I mean, it's fine that, you know, that my emails are being sent off to folks, but I would like to be aware. I'd like to know what the CORA requests are that are coming in, and I'd like to know what emails are going out, both from myself, just so that, you know, like, I wasn't aware that my question about how much the elections cost, like, that was out in the public domain. So it took me by a little surprise when it was mentioned here this evening, but it's fine. I just would have liked to have known that that email was out in the public domain. So I've made this request before, but I feel pretty strongly about it now, that I'd like to see a spreadsheet of what are the CORA requests that are coming in, and I'd like to have access to the emails that are going out. There were other emails from other directors that were a little bit surprising to me that I was not aware of, and I'd like to be able to review those as well. I know there was a point where Mr. Arlen had held up some letter that, and I'm interested to see that, if you could please email that to me. I'm not sure what you were referring to or what the concern was, but I'm interested to see that. And so that's the first thing, is I'm really interested in having a list and seeing what are the core. I know there's been a lot. I know it's been a burden on staff time. I know that they're the discussion of a lot of things. I'd really like to know when emails of mine are out in the public domain. And I'd also like to know what other directors' emails are out. So I don't know, Greg, Jesse, can you help me out with this?
We can get you a list of the CORA's received from like February on, Rhonda. Would that suffice? It'll be like a came from so-and-so requesting so-and-so. And in terms of seeing the actual data, that's a little more on Jesse. He could probably give you access to data in a OneDrive if you want to go look at it. But in terms of a quick spreadsheet, we can get that to you here in a couple of days, okay?
Yeah, I'd appreciate that. And I had asked for something like that a while ago too. So I think it's just this meeting, there were so many CORA requests that were mentioned, and I just want to have an understanding of what's out there. And yeah, I'd appreciate that very much. Okay.
Yeah. Not 100, but yeah, we've had a lot in the last, I've gone through every single one with Joe. So unless it's just a single, you know, yeah, like
Joe.
Yeah.
All the emails, Joe and
I. And I certainly appreciate that. And I'm sorry to put more work, but I just feel like so many of these emails, even if, especially if they're mine, I just would like to know, you know, just to, cause I'm like, well, How is this right? Oh, okay, somebody must have made a CORA request. Well, what was the CORA request? So it would just be helpful for me to be aware of that.
Yeah,
go ahead, Joe, please.
Pretty much anything on the Green Mountain server is a public record.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I understand it's not a problem, but I'd like to be aware, like, I'm like looking through, okay, April 28th, there was an email. So, you know, it's like, in some of them I was able to look up on the fly and I could, you know, read them so that everybody had the benefit of it. But it's helpful for me to at least understand what the nature of the CORA requests are, just to, you know, have some awareness of it. So, Yeah, and some of them I'm just wasn't aware. There's information that I'm just not aware of that might be conversations with other directors and the district manager. There are a number of things that were mentioned. I'd just like to you know, have some understanding of what some of these things are.
So Rhonda, can you clarify for me one more time? What was the date range you wanted to see all the CORAs?
When did they start getting very busy?
When the litigation started? I did.
No, I would just say maybe, I think February would be the latest or the farthest back, maybe even March, just some of the recent stuff.
I'd say beginning of February, Jesse.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I had to do a lot that didn't involve Greg or Kristen or Nina. It was at the very beginning.
Maybe if he just sends me if you send me the list and then.
Well, that was my plan, was to send you a list like on blank date we received a CORA from so and so requesting this, and to the extent you want to drill into that, then Jesse would have to get involved with opening up records.
Sounds good. I mean, again, there's, you know, just trying to understand what some of these discussions are. There's a lot going on that I, you know, not.
Here's the list, like,
the CORA requests are primarily, I try to deliver them to the public via OneDrive. If they request that they just want them coming to them in an email, then I'll just email the final PDFs to them in an email. No one has had a paper request to my memory, so I don't think there's any that were paper only. So they're all digitally producible.
Great.
Back since February, I can go through those. And we've been, you know, for every single thing that is requested by the public, trying to say, look, we need a CORA for it, is because we put it into our work order software, which then has, you know, a task ID, it's non-duplicatable, it's well-organized. We have part one, part two, which is a signature request, and a part three, which is a closing of it. So we can go through as well. We can run a report on that. That'll give you the full list of all the CORAs, including ones that haven't been furnished.
Processed.
We have had a handful of CORAs that just have gone unresponded to by the public when we said, here's your estimate of time. Some of those have just, people have never.
Yeah. We sent out a part two in our system, our tracking system, and we say, hey, this is what we think. This is what we think it's going to cost, because the first hour is free. Do you want this? Please sign this and send it back to us. There are some that have dropped off where the person doesn't sign it and send it back to us.
I'm just going to see what's important to folks, and I want to be aware of it, and you know, especially
my first goal would be to get you a list with me going back to February, saying on February 2nd, so-and-so requested this. February, to the extent you want to see what was delivered, that's like a OneDrive thing Jesse would have to set up with you.
Okay. And it sounds like if you've given access to others or you've emailed, just forward the email to me. Or give me access to that OneDrive.
Yeah, the only people, Jesse, correct me if I'm wrong, the only people we give access to is the requester.
That's right.
So you know, we don't open it up to everybody. Yeah. So
it's remained the same. So I can set, like, for instance, the requester has view privileges to the folder so that they don't accidentally delete it too, just for their own sake. That way we don't have to reproduce it again. So I can set another person with view privileges for that one, or for the sake of just having a clean partitioned setup, it's really not going to be that much more work for me to set up a folder that's compartmentalized by Quora request, by date, and then place the request documents in that as a full complete list. We have that kind of roughly assembled, but my organization is my own haphazard one in the files thing, so I'm sending them out fairly quickly recently. So I have some pretty well organized and some were just simple ones. There's a few that I have not handled at all. So those are some that I won't have the documents for. Some of the financial ones Doug only handled. And some of those were emailed out, and they weren't emailed out by me. It was either Greg or Doug. So I won't be able to grab just all of them myself like that. So I have to, and Doug's on vacation the rest of the week.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm sorry for all of the work and that this is a little bit more, but I do think it'd be helpful to be able to review that information. Appreciate that.
Do you have a time frame you'd like to see this by? Just so I can kind of organize my time.
Give me a time frame that works for you. I don't want to put unnecessary pressure on you.
We're going over one on Thursday? Thursday morning. So, and I've got painter coming to my new house tomorrow. I'm working remotely from the house, but it's really hard to do the Quoras quickly remotely. I do them, but it's very slow on my remote connection with the small screen because they usually have like four windows open simultaneously. So I'm working on producing documents for one right now. Tomorrow I have to do, in addition to all the Quoras, then I have a time frame part to work on our SSL cert stuff. And I need to review some, as well, some things for our report to the EPA.
Like a minimum, I mean, the very soonest would be a week, possibly 2 weeks.
I don't think 2 weeks is necessary at all, but just maybe too long and it risks evaporating from my brain. So
you tell me.
Early next week, maybe I could try and do it by Friday or Monday or Tuesday, and that way I'll try and get that done.
That sounds great. I really appreciate it. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Yeah. No.
And Greg, the sooner you can get me that list, that'll be helpful, because then I can just kind of have an overview of what type of requests have been coming in.
Okay.
Great. All right. So the next question was, and it didn't come up in any public comment tonight, but it has in the past, and there have been a number of requests for when people speak to note if they're in the district or out of the district, or if they're in, you know, like Solterra, which is kind of not in district but not out of district, but you know, there's service provided there. And I think that sounds like a good idea to me. I don't know what the other directors think, but maybe something to discuss to put on the agenda is, you know, whether it's just in an unofficial, friendly way, asking folks to state whether they're in the district or out of the district, or, you know, maybe, I don't know, just something that it sounded like a good idea to me so that people are aware. And then the last thing is, when agenda items are added, can we put the person's name, the director's name by it that added it? You know, when I submitted something, I tried to add a information sheet and put my name on the information sheet so that it was very clear that it came from myself. But I think it would be helpful if there's items on the agenda to know where they came from. So that's another topic maybe for discussion. I don't know if we need to do anything officially for either of these last two. I'm fine doing it unofficially. And I don't know, Joe, if you have any concerns about either of these, but just interested to get your feedback and the other directors.
But the risk of sounding like a broken record, what we used to do for several years,
is use the Word document tracking feature where you would actually see who put the items on the agenda when it was passed around.
So that was before I joined the board?
I think that was being done even since before we joined the board.
But I don't, but I haven't seen the agendas like that since I've been on.
Well,
so maybe it's something to bring back possibly is the suggestion.
I just, when you get an agenda, hopefully 2 weeks out in advance, obviously when you're doing meetings week to week to week, that can't happen, but planning a regular meeting. So the one in July, do my darndest to get it to you 2 weeks in advance. You give me something to add as I'll, and then like a day or two later, I'll say, hey, board got an addition and you should see it. If I have no problem saying I got an ad, or when you see it, add, you know, RP for Rhonda Peters. I don't, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, or R. Peters. I mean, that's how I do a lot of stakeholder meetings in general. And usually the topic is, you know, like initial of the first name and then
it doesn't matter to me.
Peters or, you know, Jay Baker or whatever, just so that we know. I think there's been a lot of questions like from myself and from the public, like where did this come from? And like when I submitted items, I tried to put something, you know, that would be included with it to identify that it came from me to address it. But I just think it'd be helpful overall to do that.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think that there's any decision that we have to make.
No, and I just wanted to hear from Joe. I didn't get a chance to hear from her if there's any concerns or issues on that, on either of these requests.
Problem with identifying who put what on the agenda. We're using the track changes.
Okay.
That's fine.
So is there any objection? Do any of the board members object to it, to doing that? If you submit an item that Greg can, he knows who it came from, just list your initial and your last name.
Like maybe that's a topic for discussion to put on the agenda for next time.
I'm happy to do that. That'll be fine. Sure.
Sounds like a bit of a process change to me.
It needs to be at a board meeting.
Yeah.
Regular board meeting?
Yes, yep. Please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good. All right. Thank you. That's all I have. Appreciate it.
If there are no other matters from anyone, I'm looking. Oh, yes, Karen.
Yes, I do. You're not surprised. So we are scheduling a meeting for next Tuesday. And we will be doing interviews and then down selection, making sure I have that right next Tuesday. Then also need on the agenda that we will be voting on and making a decision if needed on the lawyer for the other lawsuit. So that will have to be done. That needs to be filed next week. So that has to be done at that next meeting. So if anybody has other options, ideas, things that we need to talk about at that point, we need to have a decision made next Tuesday.
All right. Okay. So that has been noted.
Okay. I'm sorry. Can I make sure I got all of my, so do I need anything else on the agenda to make that clear? We'll be voting on and making that. I don't know if that will, if you need somebody else to interview, if you need whatever you need, put that on the agenda and we'll be making that happen. That fine with everyone?
Say again, putting what on the agenda?
Making a selection for who will represent the district in the other lawsuit.
I see.
I don't know. Okay. Anyway, I would like to make a motion to, there's nothing more. I would like to make a motion for item number 8.
Oh, Adrian, can I make a quick thing? Since we brought up four stuff, I just remembered that I wanted to bring this up.
Go ahead.
And this is the easiest way to reach the public quickly.
Yes.
Since we've been getting a lot of CORA requests, I should have mentioned this when Rhonda was saying it.
Yes, yes.
It's very helpful for me working on these CORA requests because it's pretty much a black box item that lands in my lap of like
I have no idea what these documents are. I've never heard of these things before, and I'm trying to assemble them into neat piles. Any details that the public has that they're specifically looking for, if it's email addresses that they know about, if it's details, if it's date ranges, if it's specific wordings, all of that's very helpful for me to make sure that I can assemble this as efficiently as possible and in one go. That's just something for me that I've discovered working through this is our archiving, especially for emails, our archiving software is very picky with how I need to assemble the algorithm for searching. So to create a document that I can, you know, export and produce. So that's just a little thing. I just wanted to, the easiest way to reach blast the public with a notice about how to as much detail as possible.
Could you post that on our website so people could, you know, if you're going to make
a
request, and if you can be specific.
There's a form, right? So maybe at that as a
put up. Maybe what you could do is take the Quora and write down red line what absolutely has to be there.
That's modifying the Quora form. I think that's
We can modify the Quora form. Joe and Kristen like pretty much lined out that Quora form. It's very specific, so I don't want to touch the Quora form.
No, but you can put your detail that you need.
Top,
you know,
yeah.
Trying
about
the form.
That's right. This must be included if you wish your Quora to be.
Well, I don't want to say must, but
no,
it just
filters.
It makes it more expedient. Yeah,
strongly suggests.
I can search for things faster because we've found in these courses.
And I want to clarify because I made this mistake last time. Sorry to go back. Down selecting, I'm hearing down selecting means making a hiring decision next week. Is that what you are meaning, that we have a possibility of making a hiring decision and signing engagement letters?
That's correct.
Okay.
All right. I would like to make a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second? I have a second from Director Plotkin. I think we'd like to move to a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. So the vote to adjourn has been passed unanimously. Good evening, and we will be seeing you next week. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jesse. Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Adrian.